One thing that I've done since I was 25 years old is learn how to set goals, put them in place, and then manifest them over periods of time in my lifetime. If you go back and listen to the Rules of Success that I shot that show in, I think I was 36 years old in La Jolla, California. I was living on the ocean then. And you can go back to that. You can look in the 10X rule. When I wrote the 10X rule, I shared a bunch of goals. That was 11 years ago. You can see over the last 25 years, every single goal that I have set for myself, up to this point anyway, I have been able to achieve. My wife, my two beautiful kids, the condition that my body's in today, my finances, the real estate, all of it started with goals. All of it started with the idea that was in my mind and had not yet been manifested in reality. I heard a saying once, Barbara Streisand said that there was not one thing in her career that she had accomplished. Tips on writing goals. Number one, write them down every day. In fact, what I do is I write mine down on a blank sheet of paper. I write them down in the AM, I write them down in the PM, and I also write them down anytime I'm disappointed or discouraged. Okay, so I could actually write my goals down more than twice a day. Always in the AM, always in the PM. First thing I do in the morning, first thing I did today was I wrote my goals down. Second thing, what I'll do before I go to sleep tonight is write my goals down. It could be on the same legal pad. Second thing, I write them down in present tense, in PT. Present tense or even past tense or past, okay? So I may write it as though I have accomplished it. What you don't want to do is write it down, one day I will love my job. Okay, you want to write down, I love my job. Even if you hate your job right now, just like flip it, I love my job. Okay, I love my wife and kids. I didn't have a wife and kids. My kids love me. I didn't have any children. Okay, I wrote it down as though it was happening. Okay, write your goals down whether or not you're achieving them or not. It doesn't matter that you're achieving them. Okay, this is going to sound a bit like you're deceiving yourself, which is what you're doing. You're writing down the future as though it's happening today and or has happened. Number four, strongly suggest that you go 10 times bigger on your goals than you think what is accomplishable, okay? I say go big or go bigger, baby. Okay, go big or go bigger. There is nothing wrong with big think. It doesn't cost anything, okay? You can't get taxed for thinking big. And it's not just, okay, I'm going to dream big and big things are going to happen, okay? I am going to write down, hey, I'm trying to achieve X in my life. I'm trying to go from here to 10 times bigger than I can think, okay? During the day, I'm going to take the actions that support that when I write this down every day. Number five, do not be disappointed in not achieving. Just keep writing. Just because you're not hitting it, just keep writing it. I wrote down off and on from time to time. I wrote down for years.
Need motivation?
Watch a top 10 with Believe Nation.
Hey, it's Evan Carmichael, and I make these videos because you are probably the most ambitious person in your circle, but you know you're capable of more, and you get that push by surrounding yourself with the best. So today, let's learn from one of the best, Grant Cardone, and my take on his top 10 rules to success. Enjoy. Rule number two, get rid of poverty mindset.
My dad worked his ass off. And when he died, he did good. My mom had to sell everything. And so I'm like, okay, that didn't work. But he was considered successful. The middle class successful. Briefcase, good job, professional. People respected him. Saved his money. Had life insurance. House was paid for. Everything by the book. And she was unloading stuff the next week, because she was terrified. And so from the age of 10 to like 16, 17 years old, we were just scared, dude. Clipping coupons, buying everything on sale, single mother. Everywhere she goes, she knows they're going to rip her off. The plumber, the roofer, the car dealer, everybody's going to rip her off.
Right.
So she thought, save your money, save for a rainy day.
Yeah. Right.
You know, a penny saved is.
Right, yeah. A penny earned. It's not.
It's a penny.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a penny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a penny, dude.
Yes.
You won't even pick a penny up today.
You ain't. With a penny.
Dude. Yeah. You know, 50 cent? Yeah. Come on, man.
That's 50 pennies.
Yeah.
Rule number three, take a long-term view.
The third thing I would say about wealthy people is they're, I mean, different people have different ways they invest, but they tend to be more focused on the long-term appreciation of an asset rather than give me money this second. And I think they're not stuck in this get-rich-quick thing.
It's a delayed gratification.
Yeah, they're more like, yeah, I'd rather have wealth tomorrow than rich today.
Mm.
And they do have a distinction between the rich and the wealthy. The super wealthy are looking to create wealth beyond their own means and needs. Like, they're not thinking about their kids, their boat, their plane. I know people think that, but that's not actually true. They're actually thinking about, how do I create wealth for a lot of people? Amazon's got 1 million employees.
Yeah.
Now, most of them only earn minimum wage, but there's some people at the upper level of Amazon that are making fortunes.
Rule number four, strive for success.
Success is vital. Maybe you've heard me say this before. It's worth writing down again. Success is your duty. It is your obligation and your responsibility. Success to me is as vital to my survival as oxygen, food, and water. Shelter. I got to have shelter. I got to have water. I have to have oxygen. I need food, okay? I need love in my life, okay? I need people. I need human interaction, and I also need to win. If you don't have success in your life, you will lose discipline, you will lose activity, you will lose contacts, and you will not be consistent. You will not have them. This is the vital part of success. This is why I'm pounding to you. The only trick in this universe, if there is a trick at all, is you must be successful. Success is not an option. It is your duty. It is your obligation. It is your responsibility. 2022, if it's going to be good for you and your family, if it's going to be great for you and your family, it is because you demand success this year. Mm-hmm. And that means you demand success in your relationships, in your finances, and in your money. Your money and in your business.
Also, to make sure you're actually taking action after watching this video, I've designed a special free worksheet just for this video. The worksheet will highlight all of the lessons learned in this video, as well as pull out our three favorite learnings and quotes that will inspire you to actually do something. The worksheet will also give you space to write down what your key takeaways are and your specific plan of action to make sure you're getting results. If you want the worksheet designed specifically for this video, absolutely for free, there's a link in the description below. Go click on it and start building the momentum in your life and your business. I'll see you there. Rule number five, invest your money.
What should you do with your money?
Well, like saving money in a bank account is ridiculous. The only people that benefit is the bank.
So wait, what do you do with the money then?
You use money. First thing people should invest in is themselves. Like, you know,
best thing is people hear that and they go, what does that mean though? What do I do with the money?
Go to workshops, go to seminars, go to whatever you're good at, whatever you're doing. You're an astronaut, invest in yourself. If you're an athlete, invest in yourself. Don't spend money on belts.
Yeah.
And looking good. Like, invest in your craft. You're a comedian, invest in your craft. And that means investing in your skills, coach, whatever, podcasts, whatever needs to get you known, right? And then also in your branding and your marketing. Like, people have to know you, no matter how good you are. If I don't know you, it doesn't matter.
Right, so you got to get out there.
Yeah, how did you guys run into me?
How'd I run into you?
Yeah, Instagram. How'd you find out about me?
Instagram.
Good. I invested a lot of money making sure that people see that Instagram account, right?
Right.
So, or energy, money and energy.
Right.
So invest in yourself first to become great at whatever you're doing. Number two, start investing in your business if you hadn't done that already. And the third thing is start investing in things that'll pay you every month. So you buy a flow of income.
Rule number six, have the right contacts.
This idea that it takes money to make money is not true. It's a myth. It's the number one reason why I did the show, the Discovery Show, to debunk that on TV, that I didn't need any money at all. They offered me $100. I'm like, just keep it, dude. Like, no, we got to give it to you. It's part of the show. And I'm like, I don't need $100. They're like, no, but you got to take $100. It's part of the show. The entire 90 days, I never touched the first $100 they gave me. And this was to prove to people, dude, you do not need money. Like, it's not true you need money. You do need contacts.
You need people. You need relationships.
You need people. You need the right people, though. The right people that are already in play. Okay, just because a guy's got money I remember a billionaire friend of mine, you know, he could buy a jet. And I said, hey, Bob, should I buy a jet? He said, you should, I shouldn't. Meaning Grant should, because, and he's way wealthier than I am. He could have bought 40 of them. He's like, I don't have a place to go in mine. You could use yours every day. So you got to find somebody that's in place, somebody that not just has money, but somebody that wants to do more with their money. So you'll notice in the first 10 days, I don't spend any money. I don't spend money on shelter, not on food, and not on water. Nothing. Then what I do is I end up accumulating assets. And it's unfortunate that the viewer doesn't see this. Within 5 days, I have two vehicles. One was given to me by Discovery, and the other one was a $40,000 Jeep that I basically used from Ryan, this guy I met, and told him, I'm going to sell your Jeep. I'm going to drive it around town and put 10 miles a day on it, and I'm going to sell it. Well, that's a $43,000 asset. My truck was worth $4,000. I still had my $100. I lived in a $46,000 RV that I was trying to sell. So,
yeah.
What's the other thing I did? And I picked up $10,000 to do in a 15% partnership in the equity of the upside of this guy's company. So literally in 10 days, wow. I was accumulating contacts that could get me equity. And the important part of that story is, man, go get you some equity. You know, Jay-Z talks about this. You're getting, you know, so many of you young brothers are getting an advance while I'm picking up the equity.
Rule number 7, show up.
Showing up means showing up. It don't mean you got to the office. You understand? It doesn't mean you came to work. For me, showing up means I show up. I've been showing up since I was 25 years old, man. Before that, I wasn't showing up. I was showing off. I was acting a fool, being a fool. High school, I didn't show up. I went to class. I never showed up. My body went in the room. See, showing up doesn't mean you got there. Showing up means you got there, and then you showed up again, and then you showed up again, and then you showed up again. It means you show up for the class, you show up for the homework, you show up for the class, you show up for the homework, you show up for the test, you freaking get a perfect grade. It means you keep showing up to the next level. And I hear a lot of people talking about showing up, you know, showing up's not everything. Let me tell you something, showing up, when you show up the right way, Johnny, you got to put your seatbelt on. When you show up the right way, showing up is 100% a success. So you got to keep showing up. Showing up means you're looking for deeper levels to show up, to pay attention. That's what I do every day. Every day I come to work, I'm like, show up, man. Show up for every little problem. Show up for every little opportunity. Show up for every little new nuance, little angle, little particle, little movement. That's why I see all this stuff. Why is that not cleaned up? Why is this not cleaned up? What's it? Why'd somebody pick that up? Who's that new person here? Hey, you feeling all right today? How many times have I asked you that before? You all right today? I know it's little things. It's simple. It costs nothing to do this. Show up. It costs you nothing.
It makes all the difference.
And it makes all the difference, man, showing up. You'll see things that no one else sees. And you know, the good news is anybody can do this. You just got to make a commitment to show up.
Rule number 8, surround yourself with success.
The reason the guys on Wall Street and the gals on Wall Street make so much money, okay, it's not because they're like capitalists and they're terrible people. It's because they're surrounded by people that are making money, man. They're accountable by their stock price. They're accountable to their production. They got people around them that expect them to win and do well. And also, they're going to dinner, waking up at breakfast, working out in the gym with other people that are winning big in life, okay? So you need feedback from your environment and your network. Fifth thing you need is you gotta have a network of people that are encouraging you to kill it. You gotta have the right network. You gotta have a LeBron in your game, man. If you're playing in the NBA and LeBron's like, I'm going to take you under my wing, bro. Okay, Kobe's like, hey, man, I'm coming back to be with you, man. What, would you deny that? Okay, Michael Jordan, I want to be with you, man. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, I want to golf with you. Come on, guys. What are you doing? You cannot do this alone. You cannot do this alone. Are you kidding me, man? Let's say you want to be a surgeon and a top surgeon in the world's like, I want to take you under my wing. What are you going to be? I'm too busy.
Rule number 9, be innovative.
you're reading a book, okay, you're listening to music, going to an event, speaking at an event. Let's say you're speaking at an event and it's the 700th time you did that presentation. You got to show up new again. Johnny comes to work with his camera and we're doing a show today. Johnny needs to show up new, looking for new angles, new colors, new. You got to show up every day new, folks. You're new, man. You're new. Ladies and gentlemen, you're new. Every day you're new. Or guess what? You're old. Nobody wants old. I don't want to get old. I don't want stale. I don't want yesterdays. I don't want leftovers. I know when somebody's repeating something rote. They're just giving me the same. I don't mind some bullshit, but it's got to be fresh. I need some fresh bullshit. So I don't mind a little bit of bullshit. I just don't want the same thing. Okay, that guy's told that story 1,000 times, and it looks like the 1,000th time. Not in a good way either.
And rule number 10, the last one before some very special bonus clips, is don't get stuck in mechanics.
Last thing I'm going to tell you is this, okay? Don't get stuck in mechanics. When I'm writing my goals down, I do not know how I'm going to do it. So I merely sit down. Like I remember for years I would write down, I own a helicopter. I don't even know where this concept came from. I own a helicopter. I own a helicopter. I own a helicopter. Every once in a while it would show up. It would show up on a Wednesday and not show up for when I'm writing my goals down, right? So I'm waking up in the morning. I wake up in the morning and I write my goals down. And one day I write, I own a helicopter. I think back then it was, I learned how to fly a helicopter. Okay. It was stupid. It was completely ridiculous. I'm like, where did that come from? It just kind of floated into my mind. I wrote it down. Okay, I own a jet. I'm like, man, I'm just being stupid right now. I own a jet and two helicopters. I don't know how that happened. I didn't know anything about jets. I would not achieve any of this, by the way, until I was 53 years old, 54 years old. The first private jet I was ever on was the one we bought. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know how they fly. I didn't know how they work. I didn't know what the cost of a hangar was. I know nothing. Don't get lost in the mechanics. I didn't know the fuel cost. I didn't know what it cost to buy one. Do you finance them? Do you pay cash? Do you get a tax write? I knew nothing when I started writing this down. The helicopter would come after the jet. Okay, I bought a helicopter. I didn't know why. So the point of that story is, when you're writing your goals down, literally sit down with a blank sheet of paper. First thing you wake up in the morning and you just start zip, 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 zip. You write through them. Like this morning I wrote down $40 billion in real estate. Okay, public. I write down one word. I'm going public. See, I know now that this is in present tense and or past tense. I write it in present or past tense. I'm going public. Okay, I wrote down recently a congressional hearing. People are like, what's a congressional hearing? Dude, I'm so big now, they called me into Congress. They're going to have a congressional hearing. They're going to drill me, okay? Oh, yeah, then I wrote this down. A political office. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm writing that down. I don't know how to achieve that. I don't know what it would mean. I don't know what it looks like. I don't get stuck in the mechanics. Don't worry about it.
Commit first,
man. Just keep committing it. Keep fueling it. Keep writing it down. You got to commit first. When you know something's right, folks, commit. Commit. Go all in on the deal. Nobody knows what you're up to. Nobody knows what's going on inside me. I called my mom that night and I said, I met my wife today. And she's like, well, have y'all been out? Where did y'all go? What did you do? I said, no, she hates me. And she's like, she hates you? Grant, it takes two. And this is what I knew from being in business, and if you're taking notes, it might be worthwhile. It does not take two to tango. It does not take two to make a marriage, and it does not take a buyer and a seller. What it takes is you. It needs to be you first. You have to decide they're selling the house, and you got to decide that they're buying the house before any house makes a transaction. I had to decide that she was going to be the girl before she could see that I was going to be the guy. You guys with me? All right, 26 phone calls. All of them were like, hey, how you doing? You know, I didn't mention that she never calls me back.
I didn't mention that she was breaking my heart every time she didn't call me. I didn't mention the fact that her best friend said I was too short. Okay? You guys know what all your objections are, don't you? Like her friend said, you're too short. I said, just tell me what the real deal is. I got to know what the objection is. I cannot handle the unspoken objection. What is the real deal? Grant, you're too short. I said, okay, what else? What else you got? You're not a Hollywood guy. She's an actress. I wasn't in Hollywood. I'm not an actor. Okay, good. What else? You're a businessman. She thinks you're too conservative. Okay, what else? What else you got? Well, you don't have a prison record. You don't have a prison record, no tattoos. She liked Bad Boys, okay? How many ladies here like the Bad Boys? Just be honest. Okay, be honest. Lady over here is like, yes. I love them, okay? So I just continue to pursue her because like somebody said earlier, sometimes people change. How many of you in the room have changed? How many of you in the room have changed? Exactly, you're gonna keep changing too. Some of you you're not gonna like. So I pursued her until one day, because I know this, okay? And you might wanna keep this in your collection of how you handle discouragement along the way. When you get a no, would you agree that no is a version of yes? How many would agree with that? Dude, look, I mean, think about it. What's the opposite of yes? What's the opposite of no? What's in between? Maybe. So I always tell people when they tell me no, I'm like, don't say no, say maybe. Okay, just say maybe. No, well, maybe, Grant, maybe, but not right now. Excellent, because I know no's can turn into yeses. I said no to a lot of things in life and then done them. You've walked into a casino before. I am not gambling tonight. I will not gamble. You came down to Cabo. I am not drinking while I'm here. Okay? Some of you came down. No enriched bread while I'm here. No chips, no guacamole, nothing. Okay? And as soon as you got down here, you're just like freaking hitting shots, eating guacamole, slamming it in your face, right? So how do you get from no to yes? Just show up in Cabo. It's a maybe, right? How do you get somebody to say, go from not selling their house to yes, I will? Get to a maybe and then follow them up. Best advice I ever received, my mom said, hey, invest in yourself. You'll never lose. I have reminded myself of that so many times. Workshops I go to, events that I attend where I'm going as somebody to get educated. Okay. Books that I've read, I'm like, it's not a waste of time. Even if you don't think you learned anything, it is not a waste of time. You think you haven't, that it was a waste of time or you didn't learn anything because you hadn't used it yet. You may use that piece of data one day. And so number one, anything you invest in time or money in trying to improve yourself, you're not going to lose that. You got to take a risk. You got to take a risk. You got to take a risk. I mean, that is what an entrepreneur does. Like and a lot of people call themselves entrepreneurs. I'm like, you need to look up the definition. Okay. You are violating the one most important thing about being an entrepreneur. Take risks. Because I was talking to a guy the other day. He's like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm like, how much equity do you have in your house? He tells me like 200,000 pounds. Good. How much money do you have in the bank? 300,000. How much money do you have in retirement accounts? He had like 50 times more money in all those things than he had in his business. I'm like, man, you're not taking risk. You're actually avoiding risk. Okay. So you need to go be the avoiding risk person. So become just an investor or a saver.
The beauty salon, the restaurant, the bar owner, the consultant, we've all had the experience of resenting our customers, starting not to like them. And it's because we become dependent upon them. We have too few.
If we're resenting our customer, what is that saying about us? That we're not building our brand, that we're not growing, that we're not selling enough?
Yeah, you didn't build the top of your funnel out enough because this part of it's easy. Even though you hate them, they never pay you money. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. They don't pay me enough. They always complain. They never use the product. No matter what I do for them, they bitch and complain. Okay? They're never happy, blah, 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 right? Well, right. The truth is, those are indications that you didn't build your customer base wide enough because you now resent them. Your resentment is an indication that you rely on them too much And every time they complain to you, it reminds you, shit, I'm too reliant on too little. And we've all done it. We all do it. I've done it. Right now, I'm doing it in my real estate. I told my guy, Ryan, the other day, I said, we're depending on this one guy too much. And he's like, why do you say that? Because I'm starting to resent him.
So what's the first thing we should do? What's the action steps after that when we resent our customers?
You got to understand it's not about them. It's about you. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with them. You need to go wide. You need to go get more customers. If you resent Facebook, if Facebook pisses you off, it is because you are too reliant on Facebook.
Three parts to the real estate game. Number one is the deal. I found me a good one right here. I'm in the Heights, one of the most desirable neighborhoods in all of the 713. Number one's the deal. Number two is the debt. You got to get a bank that's willing to lend on that. We're working on that right now. Debt market's insane right now, and I'm still learning how to play that game, making connections, getting relationships with people. I've had money quoted to me at 3.75, all the way down to 2.75, and then last night got some money quoted to me at under 2%. Insane in the membrane. Changes everything in the game when you can get your debt right. The third part of the deal is cash. Equity. How much can you put down to buy the deal? So many of you out there would be looking at deals this size if you knew how to get the debt and the equity. But because you think you're short on debt and equity, you reduce the deal size or the location or the quality of the asset. Most of you are chasing the debt and the equity when the truth is you should be chasing the deal, because the right deal with the right story and the right location, the right traffic, the right renter, it'll always bring the money. I'll tell you a story. I just did a deal in Boca Raton. I paid $70 million for the deal. And I knew, like, I moved on this deal so fast, it was unbelievable, because I knew that market, right? I didn't have to do a lot of research because I'd already done the research. So I still did the research, right? Because I'd already done the research, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go check out this restaurant right now, see how they're doing. And bought the deal, closed the deal. Very little due diligence, by the way. Just wham. Looking for reasons to buy the deal because I knew the location. We raised the rents $500 a month already. I've been in it 60 days. We just had one, maybe two rent leases come in at $1,000 more than they were before we bought them. And we got great plans for the property. We're gonna do great stuff for the tenants there. Point is, when you raise the rents, man, guess what? You make the property better. You have more money to take care of your tenants. It improves the value of the property and gives you some momentum in that property. And then momentum to buy more deals. Point is, dude, find the right deal in the right location at the right time and the right price. The debt and equity problem. I called the lender today. He's like, I paid $69 million. They're like, we'll give you $60 million worth of debt on that deal based on its performance just in the last 60 days since you took ownership. That is unbelievable. That means I only need $9 million to buy the deal, and I've already raised $20. Again, know your location. Get some support around you. Real estate is a team sport. Okay, it's about relationships. The debt's about relationships. The equity's about relationships. The deals are about relationships.
There was a time when nobody knew my name. Right? Nobody knew my name. I hadn't written a book. I didn't have 21 best-selling programs. I wasn't doing audiences. My first gig, I talked to 7 people for 8 hours.
How long?
Oh, how long did that go on? For 3 years? Oh, how long did people not know me?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody knew me really until the last 3 years.
So I want you guys to hear that.
I've been doing this.
How many years are doing that?
20. I've been doing this. I've been doing the pitch thing since 30. I'm 61.
So 31 years.
31 years. Nobody's known me until the last 2 or 3 years, maybe.
And would you...
And then Mike Tyson said, man, where you been, man? Why doesn't everybody know you, man?
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody know you? Steve Harvey. Dude, everybody should know who you are. You should have a TV show. Mm-hmm. But that was my fault, man. I was thinking too small. I was running down a little channel.
Yeah.
But too many of you guys, you're trying to run down too many channels in the beginning.
Or trying to cross all...
You got to get good at one thing first.
Yeah.
You're not going to be great at two things if you're not great at one thing. Mm. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't surf two waves at the same time, man. Get good at one wave. Get good at a left. Okay? And so you got to get good at one thing. It doesn't matter if you like it either. You don't need to like it to get great at it.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, oh, I got to follow my passion, particularly here in LA.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an artist. Okay. Oh, I'm meant to do this. Dude, you're meant to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask Steven Spielberg. He was not meant to do one thing. He's meant to do a lot of things. We all are. And so it's not some freak phenomenon that a guy can write fiction and nonfiction and do movies, okay? And, you know, also be a massive investor in companies.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's some guy, oh, how can a guy write, you know, this and that and do all this and put together these volumes and help people and start this? You know, because he can and you can too.
Yeah.
Everybody can, but you got to get good at one thing. You got to groove into one thing. Make sure you're certain about one thing before you move on to the second thing. Because you're just going to be like, I'm still in doubt about the first thing, but I'm going to try to get great at this thing. And you know you didn't finish this thing. I respect $100. So if you give me $100, you know, I respect that as a lot of money.
Gotcha.
Now, that being said, it's not going to be a lot for very long. And if you got two kids that need to eat today, it depends on what your needs are, right? I got a wife and two kids, so I mean, $100 probably ain't going to last a whole day. But $100 for a minute, that's a lot of money. Now, gotcha. If I could figure out how to get more money coming in, it's only a lot of money if you got more money coming in.
Understood.
Because I can probably exhaust almost any amount of money. This is the problem with the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the rappers.
When they move on,
they got a pile of money, but what they don't have is more money coming in.
Gotcha.
And so now you know $1 million is a lot of money if you got $1,000 every day coming in. Because you can't get through it. I always tell Elaine, I said, dude, as long as we make a dollar more because of my net worth, if I make a dollar, just $1 every day. I mean, $1 today is a lot of money because it means I never go backwards. I need to think like the Google boys or the Warren Buffetts or the guys that are like, dude, they don't worry about all that. They're worrying about how big they can get. How big can they get? How long can they survive? And big is what works. You can't show me a small company or a small think that has ever survived anything.
Is this your quote that says, can't get big thinking small?
You can't get big thinking small, and you can't get big with small people. Before you diversify, go bang on another door.
Yeah.
You need to become the freaking door banging of the universe.
So I want to talk about that, right?
Yeah, because can I use that word here?
100%.
Okay? You need to go bang on. Yeah, you need to go bang on a door. They tell you to get out of the neighborhood and you go figure out how to bang on it again and not get arrested.
Yeah.
Like, if you can figure that gig out, I guarantee you, you will be the most successful person your genetic code has ever generated.
Yeah.
Anyone in your family. Everybody I know says, man, learn how to cold call. I have the career I have today because I learned how to cold call. If you took everything away from me right now, the things that are most valuable to me, you can't take away. So you take the plane away, you take the money away, take the real estate the portfolio away. You know, 3 years from now, I'll be bigger than I was because now I have courage. Like if you guys can just find your courage, man. And that's a muscle. You got to go build a muscle of courage. I have courage. Nobody can take that away from me. You can't steal it from me. You can't beat it out of me.
What's your biggest tip for anyone who, you know, they obviously have all intention purposes to want to collaborate? What are some of the best ins or the best ways around?
Money.
Money, of course.
Pay.
Money.
Pay to play.
Money works, yeah.
Pay to play.
Yep.
Universal language, planet Earth. Pay to play. You know. Whatever people, I was doing before our last conference, and maybe we wrap it up with this. Before our last conference, a guy came in my office from a big bank and said, "Hey, I wanna talk to you about lending you some money for your apartment building." So I'm like, "Great, have you bought a ticket to my conference?" "No, I haven't." I said, "I don't have time for you." So it's like pay to play, man. It is the simplest hack on planet Earth.
Yep.
I'm gonna take garbage pieces of paper. Dumb little pieces of rectangle paper and give them to you to speed up my process. I don't know why I didn't know this for 45 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was so hung up on trading paper for access. It's what all the big players do.
Yeah.
I mean, I even had this arrogant thing. I'm not paying to connect up. Like, Dude, it's how everything works on this planet.
I have belief now. I know what I can do now. Once you know what you can do, then you can do it a second time. And that's why so many people can go bankrupt and then come right back. Because they know now. The first time you do it, you don't know. The second time you do it, you're like, I think maybe. The third and fourth time, you're like, I know for sure I can do this. Success is a contact sport. You cannot be successful if you don't make contact. You guys interview people and then you never follow anybody up, man. Nobody follows anybody up. I spent $2 million with a lawyer that's never called me back. Same thing for the barber, same thing for the cosmetologist, same thing for the plumber, same thing for the roofer. Dude, you guys don't call people back because you think they're not interested. Do you think I'm only going to have one car accident? People that have one car accident end up in three of them.
Mm.
Okay. Divorcees, guy gets a divorce. Everybody here knows somebody has got four of them. Buck, he ends up with four different attorneys. Like, you guys don't follow up. You are a business, not a lawyer. The chiropractor has the same problem. He goes and spends all this money on equipment. He knows how to do an adjustment. He doesn't know how to build a business.
Every city I've ever been to, when I work with CEOs, they say number one problem here is the people. I said, then you need to get better. So to the degree that you're having problems with people, you got to get better. And it starts with you. And you're only going to hire the people. Like, we have people come to us. I'm turning resumes down. I'm like, I can't see enough people. Like, I got people that so many people want to work with us because we're successful.
Right.
And if you want good people, get big.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to work at Facebook. Okay. The average person at Facebook makes just under 250 a year. Which, by the way, if you do any kind of financial literacy, you would know that guy walks away with 60 grand. 250 in Silicon Valley converts to 60,000 bucks after all his expenses. He's broke. He might not have 60, by the way. So, you know, just, dude, you're going to have to go through a bunch of people. Recruiting should be the number one thing for every company out there, every entrepreneur. First thing you should look for is not a sale. That's what I did wrong. I was looking for a sale. I should have been looking for a recruit.
Mm.
So focus more on team building than just sales, sales, sales.
Now, you need to recruit, and that means you need to pay people. Now we're back to that other ugly problem that nobody wants to talk about. I need some money. Everybody wants to be the boss. Nobody wants to pay the invoice.
Keep taking care of yourself every day. You gotta do the work. Some things you cannot delegate. Taking care of your body, food you eat, somebody can cook it for you, you still gotta put it in. And then you gotta take care of yourself. And then you got to take your ideas and your dreams. Only you know what they really are. And only you and you alone know what your real potential is. Your wife can't do that for you. Your husband can't. Your boss can't. Your manager can't. God's not going to even do it for you, folks. You got to do that. You want to be in good shape? You can pray for it all you want. You want to get your money right? You can pray for it, but you got to do the work. Your destiny is waiting for you. But you got to do the work.
How do you maintain a positive, opportunistic, upbeat attitude during times like this?
You know, I struggle with it just like everybody else. This is not an easy time. It's scary. Uncertainties everywhere. Bad news everywhere. The thing that I continue to do is, I was just telling Jared a few minutes ago, we're just thinking too small. Mm-hmm. You know, we're thinking too small. And so, like, I'm like, where am I going? Where am I trying to get to? Because I could be seduced into a beach right now pretty easily. Yeah, I'm going to go lay on the beach and I don't need to do all this, you know? And then I'm like, wait a minute, there's no beaches open either. Like, there's the Caribbean shut down, the damn St. Bart's is shut down. There's everywhere you go, there's problems, right? So there's no getting away from that. Where am I going?
Yeah.
So the thing I need to wake up every morning, hey, I'm still going for $10 billion worth of real estate, maybe 20.
Yeah.
Why not 30? So how do I do that? Got to stay relevant. Got to keep paying my bills. Got to take care of my properties. Got to show people that I know how to get through tough shit. You can't expand if you fold every hand. You can't win if you fold every hand. So you got to play the cards you got right now. It's tough. But I have to keep making contacts with people that can actually benefit me in 21, 22, 23.
I got to be a beacon of possibility and potential and future. So that when we go, when things start lifting off and we can do deals, I'm relevant to the conversation. Yeah. And I got to cross my fingers, dude, and just believe that I got to believe that things are going to get better.
And the first thing to becoming a millionaire, a multimillionaire, a hectamillionaire, or a billionaire, and I've spent time with enough billionaires now, is they have made decisions to get their money right. Okay, whether they're going public or selling a product, scaling out, they had to make a decision to get the money, the finance model of their household, their business, their product, or their IPO right, right? If they want to go to the market and become a public company. So number one, get your money right. It's not about product knowledge first. It's not about sales knowledge first. It's not about sales process first. It's not about the follow-up first or writing the customer up first. It's not even about attitude first. It's about get your financial mental, get your money mental right, okay? Because if you're satisfied, if you're happy where you are financially, why would you sell anything else? Look, let's face it, you're on commission. You get paid to sell things. You get paid to close deals. You get paid to follow up only when it works. Okay, number one, get your money mindset right.
You need to dream big. I mean, you cannot dream big enough. I'm telling you, you can't dream big enough. You can do more than you're doing, but you can't do more than you're doing if you hang around with little thinkers. That could be your family members, could be your friends, could be people you're going to school with and hanging out with. Look, there's a time and a place to hang out with those people. Can't pick your family. I mean, they say you can't. I wonder sometimes if we don't actually do the picking and just show up there. But I'll save that for another conversation. But I do know once you get with your family, the family that you picked or they picked or however that might work, the selection process, wherever you went to school or go to school or where you grew up or how you grew up or religion you grew up in or whether you're white or black or brown, male or female, the question's always going to be, what can you do to do more with your life, to find your mission, to find your purpose, to find what you're great at, to get great at the things maybe that you're not great at, that you don't even like doing? Number one, think big. I'm telling you, you can do more and you will do more than you ever imagined. If you're ever successful in your life, if you ever hit it, and you can, you will look back 10, 15, 20 years from now and say, God, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? I promise you. You know, it's like 80 pounds of weight looks like a lot when you're 5 or 6 years old. Later, it's pretty easy to pick that up. No matter what your frame is, as long as you do the work, as long as you do the work and show up in the gym, one day you'll be able to pick that barbell up. Just like in life, okay? The things that you think are impossible today, the things that you hate today, the things that you aren't good at, the things that you think are a waste of time, the things that make you angry are all opportunities for you.
First, get rid of the little think and the old ideas and the middle class mentality. I'm gonna go to work, I'm gonna save some money, I'm gonna put it in the bank, I'm gonna give it to the man. What's the bank do? The bank doesn't even keep your money. They hate money. Cash is? It's trash. Cash is garbage. It's pieces of garbage paper. It is only useful when it is used, if you're taking notes. They didn't teach you this in school. This should have been taught basic, fifth grade, sixth grade. Not when in high school or college. Cash, this is a piece of paper, okay? It is a piece of paper, it's worthless. This is a piece of paper. This actually has more value. This piece of paper right here has more value than this piece of paper right here. Why? Because one person has this piece of paper. 2,000 people have this data. You understand? This piece of paper right here is useless though until it is used.
In people's lives, you have distractions. And you have opportunities to go do other stuff and look at other stuff. You know, it's like indecisiveness is the weakness. as you wear so well. And it's like, look, you guys want to be, you want to be hoodwinked by the COVID. You want to be hijacked by the election. You want to be thrown off because of somebody's comments about you. Like the universe will send you endless numbers of distractions. And to people that are fully, completely committed, they're like, yeah, I saw that happen. Yeah, I heard there was a car wreck over there. A guy sent me something this morning from Fox News about this guy that was arrested. I'm like, why are you passing this on to me? And I said, never pass on bad information to me. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not interested in it. By the way, you're better than that. And all the people you know, the people you know don't need that message. And at the same time, by the way, he sent it to a friend of mine, another friend of mine. My wife got it, but nobody said, stop it. Hey, guys. Papa's on a podcast. Sorry about that. So, again, you see that, like stop the distraction, stop the noise. And if you don't say no to it, it will continue. It will feed you to be distracted and give you excuses to not achieve the things that you're capable of.
From 15 to 25, I was using drugs every day. So when I tell you, hey, you can do anything, I was a habitual daily drug user, overdosed 3 times, was brought back by people just wandering into a room saying, oh, this guy's in trouble. Okay, I don't know if I was trying to kill myself at the time or I was just didn't know what I was doing or stupid or whatever. Like, I was a walking time bomb. And I was not to be trusted by my family, by my friends. There was no one in my life between 15 and 25 that I could have a positive influence on. I was a liability to everyone in my life, including my family and my friends and people I went to school with and the places I worked at. I lost 7 jobs in a row. I was unemployable. 25, I went to a treatment center and said, I got to turn this around. I got to turn this around. I cannot keep using drugs. They're bad for me. I make poor decisions when I'm using them. I go out with the wrong people, hang with the wrong people, end up in the wrong fights. I literally got, like, when you're using drugs, you're going to pick fights you can't win, not in a lifetime. You're going to get in the wrong cars, make the wrong decisions, the wrong purchases, and you're going to miss a lot of great opportunities. So first thing is, you can't do great things if you're incapable of making great decisions. And when you're under the influence, and I don't want to preach to you, I'm just telling you what advice I'd give myself if I was on the comeback and I was 15 years old and being influenced by everybody smoking the Kush. It's cool now. It's probably going to be legal everywhere. Going out drinking on the weekends, forgetting everything that you did and just making poor decisions. So I would tell you, hey, you got to figure out how is that going to somehow advance your life. You're going to have to make some hard choices. If I'm a young guy coming up, young gal coming up, how can I pick great relationships when everybody's under the influence? And again, I don't mean to sound like a preacher or anything, because I'm definitely not that. We're going to have a great time this weekend. I'm here for a week. We're going to have a lot of fun. But I couldn't do that if I was still under the influence every day.
Anybody ever surf? You ever got covered up by a wave?
Yes, sir.
And it's throwing you down, and you're like, and you're like, I can't wait to come up. And as soon as you come up, you're like, oh, my God. And bam, another one hits you. Okay? This is a tsunami. This is a tsunami. There is no place you can go and escape what's going on here. You can go get another job. We have many people that have tried that already. Some of you might be thinking about it. You're gonna go some other place and you're gonna meet yourself again. And the tsunami will be wherever you go. There's no getting away from the tsunami. The only way out of this deal is to say, hey, what do I have to sell today? Okay, so right now, Dave did a deal yesterday, $9.95. What kind of business was it, Dave?
Solar.
60 months. Did you ask the guy, are you gonna be in business in 2025?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
Well, it was a 3-year deal. He didn't like the price. I said, okay, let's do five years.
Yeah, good. Okay, so you guys need to start asking people. First of all, are you going to be in business next year?
You need to ask every person. You need to include a couple of words in your pitch right now, okay? Hey, are you going bankrupt? You need to ask them, are you gonna go bankrupt? Because they're thinking about it, trust me. They are thinking about, I'm f-ing gonna bust out here. You need to bring it up before they do. This is straight out of Sell or Be Sold. Initiate the objective of the objection. The unspoken objection is what's gonna kill your deals.
Learn to discipline yourself. If you got to go to the gym every day, if you hate going to the gym, go to the gym. I don't like going to the gym, but I'm like, I don't like my body hurting either. Sooner or later, if you don't go to the gym and work your body will, it will scream at you and it will hurt. Lower back pains, arms, shoulders, knees, you name it, is always going to hurt. And as long as it's hurting, how can you be fully available for the people around you if your body's hurting? Two, you got to eat good foods, okay? Got to make decisions. I ain't going to eat junk. I'm not going to eat the junk. Why? Why? Because I'm saying no to junk. And if you can start saying no to stuff, you can start saying yes to the good things. Like my little girl right there, Sabrina. Say hi, Sabrina.
Hey.
So pay the price today. Learn how to be great at jobs you hate. That's paying the price. Get up early. Go to bed early. Okay, beat the sun up every morning. It'll give you so much confidence. I'm paying the price when I do that. When I get up before the sun gets up, I'm paying the price. When I go to bed at 9 o'clock and I'm not watching TV and movies and just being entertained and affected by whatever's coming my way, I'm paying the price. When I don't waste the weekends make you weak. Listen to me. Weekends are for weak people. Anything after 10 o'clock at night, it's for weak people. Okay, Saturday and Sunday, staying up all night, weak people. People are made weak on the weekends. Pay the price, okay? Give up the weekends for the next 5 years and watch what happens. 5 years, man, that's a lot of weekends. That's, what is that, 250 weekends? Is that right? Yeah, 250 weekends. That means I'm ahead of the people around me. I'm paying the price today in hopes that I could pay any price in the future.
You failed the business, no problem. You restart another business. So the way to play this is, let's go ahead and give your business the best shot. You need training, you're gonna need sales, you're gonna need phone skills, you're gonna need follow-up, otherwise it's gonna fail, okay? Now watch, we put it on a credit card. If we put it on a credit card and you fail, the bankruptcy court picks up the Visa, MasterCard, the American Express. The training contract you did with us lives on for your next company. You guys understand that? 100% of those people will continue on in some other business. A few of them will commit suicide. Okay, I'm done. But the rest of them are gonna be like, I gotta go do something. And they are going to restructure and start another company. Donald Trump has restructured casinos, man. This is not a new thing. Like, the big boys restructure. Okay, fail, boom, we restructure, we'll create something new. I still got a business, okay? You gotta get this guy to see. This might fail, but you won't, because you won't quit and you're gonna be over here. The way I lead is I go do stuff.
First, I do.
And when I talk about doing stuff, I'm talking about I move the bar. The only thing I look at every day is, did I move the graph up? Mm-hmm. I love that the symbol of Hercules. I think it was Hercules holding the world.
Yeah.
And I imagine if it was a live character, he'd be pushing it up more all the time. That's what when I see a graph, I look at, we graph everything. Right. I look at grass and I'm like, I want to go be Hercules. I want to lift it. And that's all my people see me doing every day. Sure. I'm not an organizer. I'm not a planner. I'm not the meeting guy. I'm Hercules.
Constantly moving that bar.
Moving the bar. I'm the one making the points.
Right.
And so I'm like, look, Steve, I'm going to make 40 points today. Put 20 on the board, dog. I don't need you to do, because you can't, Steve. You can't make 40. Okay.
Right.
So me and Ryan, I'm like, Ryan, I'm going to raise $2 million today. I bet you can't even do half of what I do.
Mm.
And what happens is, you know, they see my energy is toward activities that get results. Not ideas or concepts.
There is value in having a partner in your relationships that is not stuck in mechanics. Mm-hmm. 'Cause the mechanics stop people from the dream.
Yeah.
You know, at the new year, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, the resolution stuff.
The big mistake that I make in my goal setting is the moment I set a goal, I want to move to how to do it. And when I do that, when I move to the how to, it stops me.
Really?
Yeah, immediately, because I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I don't live there. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't have the connections. I don't know how to write a movie, make a movie, get a TV, whatever, right? I want a Netflix deal, okay? I don't know anybody at Netflix.
Right.
So you move into the mechanics, and the moment you move into the mechanics, you shatter the dream.
In the business, we've got great cash flow reserves.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
And do we take it out?
What for? How much of those
for risk? For risk.
For what risk?
Never.
How long have you been in business?
6 years.
6 years, dude. In 6 years. You know, just look back over the last 6 years, because I did the same thing. I had all this money sitting there for the thing that was going to happen. Okay, if you believe in the law of attraction, you're planning for the thing, and it will happen. Like, you're planning for it, it's going to happen, right?
Oh man, we're pushing hard on growth too.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know, we're good. Like, but at some point, you know, you can only spend so much. You're like, okay, I can't spend any more here.
Oh, we could spend more.
You could?
Yeah.
Well, then there's your answer. Spend it, dude. Don't sit on it. You have no reason to have a reserve. Why don't we spend those reserves? Because you're a little bit of doubt. A little bit of doubt is going to pay off. See, you start believing in the money more than the, right? Start believing in the money more than the possibility.
I hate risk, man.
Huh?
I hate risk.
I hate risk too. That's why I buy the kind of real estate I buy. Like every day, the first sheet of paper I get every day is how much cash I have. The reason I'm looking at that is not bragging rights. It's because I want to get rid of it. It's like trash. I want to get rid of this money. I want to get that money to buy something that has babies, right? So every day I'm looking, I got to get rid of this cash. I have this much cash. I want to push it. Money's being devalued worldwide right now. Nobody's got more haters than
I have. But it stops a lot of people. And it doesn't stop you.
Yeah, because I you know, it's a different, for me, like, I understand that if you're going to get success, you're going to get the haters.
That's the price. Or one of the costs.
That's one of the price.
Yeah.
Okay. So because it goes back to what I said earlier, all haters, first of all, we should not admire haters the way we do. We even call them haters. They're not haters. They're quitters.
Mm.
They're quitters. All haters are quitters. Like, this should be the title of your thing.
All haters are quitters. Yeah.
All haters. Yeah. All haters.
Yeah.
Including me. Anytime I hate on something, okay,
yeah.
I quit on that thing. Like, I hate drugs. I quit drugs. I hate drugs. I hate people that use drugs. I don't trust people that use drugs. Like, no drug is safe for me. And I know, I believe that no drug is safe for other people. Now, some people are gonna be like, no, I'm using cannabis recreational. It's cool, man. And I use psychedelics and I do this. Good, dude. I hate drugs. I wanna make it clear. I hate drugs, and I hate drugs for you, and I hate drugs for him. I hate drugs for everybody. So I can be wrong, but right now I'm gonna hate drugs. Why? Because I quit drugs. Now, if you're hating on Grant Cardone, and I hadn't done anything to you, I'm over here minding my own business or building my own business. You know, minding, micromanaging my own business so it grows. So if I'm doing that, okay, and you're hating on me, why are you hating on me? Now, he uses social media too much. These are every example I go over. It's because you don't use it enough. He works too much. It's because you don't work enough. He doesn't spend enough time with his kids. You don't even have kids. Like, I got people hating on me because I got my kids on my plane. Oh, you're going to ruin your kids. If I'm going to ruin my kids, I'm going to ruin them private. You know? So, what are you quitting on? Like, it's very, very important for me. Like, when I hate on somebody, I need to understand, did I quit on something? Yeah. Or am I legitimately hating on this person for a reason? Because I'm trying to make a statement publicly. Mm. And there are people I publicly hate on.
And why do you do that?
Because I want to make it clear that they should not be doing business with this person. They should not be admiring this person. They should not, like, as an opinion leader, I think I have some responsibility to tell people, you don't want to follow that. If you're going to follow him, don't follow me.
Yeah.
You can't follow both of us and think that you're going to get any place,
mm.
which is a huge problem today with social media.
What do you think it'll take for you to get over insecurity moving forward?
I'm not trying to, man.
You're not trying to?
I'm not trying to.
I thought you said if you could get rid of it, you'd be able to do bigger
deals. The unbelievable.
but it's not a target I have.
Letting go of insecurity.
No, I think it's just a human condition. I think it's part of the game. I think it's part of being a human being any more than I want to get rid of my arms, you know, or my legs, or my arms and my legs. My body is a limitation.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How do you manage it better then? Like, for people that are saying, I want a 10X, but I always have insecurity and fear that I'm going to fail or people are going to show up and I'm going to go broke. Yeah. How do you personally tell the conversation to yourself, to the insecurity and fear?
Yeah, it's not stop, it's come. You know, for me, fear, the things I'm scared of, I'm like, come on. You know, it's calling me. It says, hey, come play over here. It's an indicator. It's a good indicator, not a bad indicator.
Lean into it.
Come play with me, okay? So I either have fear because it's really dangerous and stupid.
Or, like, physically dangerous.
Yeah, like, I'm going to get to the edge of this thing. I'm going to get on the other side of that thing. I'm probably going to be scared.
Yeah.
Now, why am I going to be scared, though? Like, because I don't know what it feels like to fall, you know, this many floors and hit.
Yeah.
Maybe it does. Maybe there's no big deal about it. Maybe dying's not even a big deal.
Right.
But I don't have the experience. I don't consciously have the experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I used to be like, I can't buy a $78,000 house. I was terrified the first house I bought. I don't know what I'm doing.
Because you didn't have the experience.
I don't have the experience, man.
Yeah.
This is the problem. And you're not going to have the experience if you don't move through the fear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do it once and then they don't do it again. You got to, like, it's not going away.
Yeah.
It's just going to, you're going to get used to the ski boots. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time you put them on, man, they're freaking banging your shins.
Hurt.
Like, I can't, man. But you just wear into them. People will listen to 3 or 4 or 5 influencers, 4 of which don't make any money. Like, they're more interested in likes and comments than they are a bank account. I'm not interested in the influence. Like, I've never considered myself an influencer. I've considered myself a businessman.
Mm.
So I want to make money. I want my companies to make money. I want the department to make money. I want the division to make money. To the degree that the company, the division, the household is profitable, the country's profitable, it means we're doing good things.
Mm.
And so when John comes and listens to me and then listens to another guy says, oh, you need to save your money. And I'm like, you need to use every penny you have to grow your brand. If you got to go into debt to grow your brand, do that. If you got to borrow money to get connections, do that. And this other guy's saying, don't borrow money. Well, the guy's gonna do nothing. Little Dave's gonna do, he won't do anything because there's a conflict in his mind. Grant said do it, Dave said don't.
Yeah.
I won't do anything.
So what, the problem of maybe too much information, access
too much information that's conflicting, so he would be better off. So I gotta make it clear, Dave's wrong. To my public, Dave's wrong. But maybe Dave's right for you. But Dave's wrong for me because I want to expand. Dave's right for you because you want to stay small. Oh, by the way, staying small never works.
If you want more top 10 videos, they're not on this channel anymore. I have a dedicated channel just for it. Go check it out. The link is right there next to me. Continue to believe, and I'll see you there.